This week, Patricia Carey, the former head of the Adoption Authority, took up a new position as Special Advocate for Survivors. The role was created as part of the government's response to a series of reports on conditions in state and religious-run institutions. It will cover survivors from places as diverse as mother and baby homes, including the Protestant-run Bethany Home, Magdalen Laundries, county homes and industrial schools. Between the 1920s and the late 1990s, more than 230,000 people spent time in one of these institutions. Patricia Carey is with us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
It is, as I say, a very broad area covering people with many, many different experiences. So what's your main focus going to be?
I think the main focus at the start is going to be creating trust. This is a very large group of people and they're not a homogenous group. So as you mentioned at the top of the piece, there's over 230,000 people from the foundation of the state and before that who are essentially incarcerated in various institutions. So I want to create trust and I want to create a space that people can have some truth telling, because truth telling is part of the fundamental building blocks of redress for human rights violations. And I think many of those people feel that the state has in some way stood over human rights violations and it's now time for redress and healing.
Is there a danger, though, that because this is a state-run office and many people had a bad experience in the past with the state, that some survivors may be suspicious of it?
I understand that and I fully expect the suspicion. And if you take the experiences of people for many years, it's natural and understandable that they would be mistrustful. However, this role is independent and I can assure your listeners and those survivors who wish to engage with me that I will take their views on board and amplify what they have to say to the government in an independent way.
You're starting, though, just a week after the Mother and Baby Homes Redress Scheme opened. And we know that children who spent less than 6 months in a home are excluded from that scheme. They're upset about that. What would you say to them?
I understand the upset and I think we have to, I want to look at things in the whole and in some ways I'm concerned at the over-focus on redress and payments. And I think many survivors, and I've spoken to many informally even this week since I started on Monday, we need to look at the enhanced health provisions. We need to look at longevity in terms of supports for all of these people. So it's not just about redress, but I do understand that 24,000 people being excluded has caused significant upset. It's very difficult to understand how somebody who is a month later or a month earlier is entitled to redress and those who are not. And we know from survivors, not only in Ireland, but you know abroad in terms of the Holocaust and other major survivor issues like that, that people have intergenerational trauma. So not only the survivors themselves, but their family, those surrounding them. If you go back to the figure of 230,000 people who were in those institutions, you can take it that effectively 1 million people in the state are somehow affected by institutional abuse, by being in an institution or by being a family member of one of those people.
So in relation then specifically to the redress scheme, will you be advocating for change?
I'll be listening to people. I'll be listening to what they have to say. I think there's other issues with redress, such as I know already people are concerned that survivors, many of whom are elderly, have to have an official state ID. Many of those do not hold a passport, PPS card. So they're the sorts of issues I want to listen to and I want to put together those views and bring them to government. But there's a whole other range of measures that are being taken and I want to get survivors' views on all of those, such as the National Centre for Remembrance, such as local memorialisation, such as ensuring health, long-term health benefits for those who are affected.
Another issue that has arisen, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, is a delay in adopted people getting information to which they're now entitled. Is that something that concerns you?
Absolutely. And previously in my role in the Adoption Authority, that was something that we very much worked with the government and policymakers on to ensure that resources were put in place. The records are there. And I think you'll appreciate, you know, they're going back to the 1920s and 30s. And we need to have them digitised, have them available within the statutory timeframes that are laid out. I do understand that there are delays. Some of those relate to resources. But if the resources are not there, they'll have to be put in. Again, going back to people who are elderly, but also if somebody has to wait 20, 30 or 40 years and now the legislation, the Birth Information Tracing Act is in place, people should be entitled to a timely response.
Another issue raised by the survivors, and again, this is something that was raised last week, is the need, as they see it, for excavations at homes other than Tuam. And in particular, I'm thinking of the cases of Bessborough in Cork and Shanross Abbey in County Tipperary. Do survivors have a point?
Well, I think, I mean, you have to follow the figures. I mean, at one stage, I think in Bessborough, there was an 82% death rate, infant mortality in that particular home. And again, we know that 9,000 of the children who were born in mother and baby homes died between 1922 and 1998. So we can take it that realistically, there are other burial grounds in other mother and baby homes. I don't want to anticipate the work of the Tuam director, and I'll be meeting them shortly. But I do think that there's this project, like all of the redress that we're talking about survivors, is going to be a long-term project.
So can you talk to us then about your work on a day-to-day basis? Say a survivor wants to contact your office, somebody who may have been in an industrial school, somebody who may have been in a mother and baby home. What should they do?
So after the programme, I will be giving you, at the moment, as I'm independent and I literally have started on Monday, I have a mobile number. I'm happy for that to be put out to talk to people. I'll travel the country. I also want to meet survivors abroad. Many survivors live in the UK, in the USA. Part of the role is going to be setting up, and this is critical, an advisory group for me to listen to, the advisory group made up of survivors from the pillars of mother and baby homes, industrial schools, the 45,000 people who are in those, Magdalen laundries, those who are boarded out, those who are adopted. So I want to listen carefully to what people have to say. This is not me going on a solo run. It's very much taking the views of survivors and amplifying them to government in respect of all of the actions. And there's a 22-point action plan as part of the mother and baby redress, but there's also an action plan for institutional abuse survivors. So fundamentally, I'll be listening to people and bringing that back to government for those who wish to speak to me. And I also recognise, Rachel, not every survivor or every survivor group will wish to engage with me.
It sounds like a mammoth amount of work.
It is, and I hope that I'm up to the challenge. I think that, again, as I said at the top, truth-telling is part of our Irish society and our dark history is what I want to do. And we all know that justice delayed is justice denied. So we need to amplify those voices and ensure they're heard.
Patricia Carey, thank you for being with us this
morning.